A high fly deep down the left field line. Garver got it all. And the Twins retake the lead 2-1. A high fly deep down the line. Fair or foul? Fair. 1-0 Twins. Kepler drives it to right field. Going back is Cameron looking up. That ball's gone. Kepler ties the game with home run number 101. To left field. Short left field. Down for a hit. Rosario will come around and score. And the Twins walk off the Tigers.
When they inch just a little closer to the White Sox, a half game back, although I believe they don't they have to beat the White Sox outright in the division because the White Sox are the tiebreaker. But
yes.
So they're basically still a game and a half back. But we will break a Twins game down like it is football, and it is a Write That Down Wednesday on the Mackey and Judd Show. But a quick shout-out to Federated. Federated has been helping us here stay afloat. Not necessarily like, I mean, we don't need as much insurance here, except for some of our bad takes. But they help us in terms of the partnership, and they help business owners going back to 1904. And it is their mission, and it is their I guess it is just their long-standing tradition to help serve and protect your business. When you need Federated, they are here to help. Face-to-face, socially distanced, of course. And remember, at Federated Insurance, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackey and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
I mean, I think we got him for the bubble, so we're going to be living comfortable, lounging a lot. So that's why, hence this nice robe. But yeah, Cruises tonight was bringing all the hits in.
Yes, we've got the news. We've had Smell'em in the past. What have we had? What's all the gimmicks the Twins have had the last 20 years? Smell'em was the big one.
Yeah.
Smell'em was the best.
It feels like...
We had the dance party.
It feels like every successful team has an identity, right? And I think it's pretty clear that the 2019 one was simply...
The
Bomba Squad.
Yep.
That was it. And so this year, there's not as many Bombas. The pitching's pretty good, but I don't know that there's like a pitching identity thing here.
I mean,
you know, Kenta Maeda has been good, but I don't know that that's
having three aces. I mean,
well, that does help a little bit, yeah. But I feel like this is it now. The robes, man. Robes.
So are we calling it? So I coined it the Bomba Robe last night. I don't know if that's going to take off.
No,
we'll see. The Bomba Robe.
I don't like it.
Robe Rage.
Robe Rage.
Robe Rage.
We have hit Robe Rage. It fits the description. I looked. Now the first description of rage is anger. That doesn't fit. But something can be all the rage. This is Robe Rage. It's gonna go through the clubhouse. The fans are gonna love it.
Sounds like I don't know. It sounds like some sort of like an ailment. Like if you have like Robe Rage, it sounds like you should see a doctor.
No, it's the rage. It's the rage of the Twins clubhouse.
Or are you trying to like tie it in with like Nelson Cruz had a PED suspension?
No,
10
I was
years
not
ago.
Thinking. Like no. Yeah. I was not saying that. But I guess so. The backstory is when Donaldson played for the Blue Jays, David Price did the same thing and bought them all robes. Now, where the stakes got up last night was actually Nelson Cruz wearing his into the dugout and then awarding it to guys who hit home runs. And when Kepler got the walk-off, bringing it out on the field. So this is the next step was to take the robes from being the luxury in the bubble clubhouse thing now to being in the dugout.
I love it.
Which I like.
It's a great idea. It's not quite what the Braves did every time Josh Donaldson hit a home run last year, which is he'd come into the dugout and they would hand him an umbrella and then they would shower him with like gum and different things.
I like
the
that
clubhouse.
Too. That's great.
I saw a couple people on Twitter referring to it as the rally robe. Some good alliteration there. Some rally.
Yeah, the problem there though is that would imply that they're rallying all the time when they wear the robe, and they're not going to be. This robe is going to be awarded whenever the Bomba happens.
Right. I would add one thing, and I wouldn't expect a lot of these younger baseball players to have grown up appreciating the lifestyle of Ric Flair, one of the great professional wrestlers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could add one thing to the celebration, so like Max Kepler, Buxton, they come into the dugout, they hit a big home run. And Nelson Cruz or whoever puts the robe around their shoulders, and then they just go down the line and they high-five everybody. I think there needs to be another step here. I think you need to do the Ric Flair strut.
Woo!
The kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing. I think you
Donaldson
need to,
would.
I actually think Donaldson's from Ric Flair country.
He might do that.
He's from, like, ACC country, isn't he?
He'd do that.
So, like, put the robe on and then do the Ric Flair strut up and down the dugout. Maybe give a little slick back of the hair, a little woo. And that would bring it closer.
You know who could do that? Because he's got the perfect hair for it? Kepler.
Kepler could.
Kepler's got that flow going, man. He could do that Ric Flair move really, really easily. Yeah.
So let's break a Twins game down like it's football here.
Quick question first. Do you guys ever wear robes?
No.
All the time.
Anti-robe.
What?
Hate wearing a robe.
Why?
Can't stand it.
You hate comfort? You hate feeling snugged?
I like little as clothes as possible.
What?
What?
Year round. I'm dead serious.
That got really uncomfortable.
Just boxers.
You're just walking around in tube socks and...
Wait, don't you put like gym shorts on?
Sometimes. Only some... If I know like I have to leave my apartment.
Wait. So if you're in your apartment and you're hanging out alone, do you have a roommate or anything?
Nope, live alone.
So you live alone?
Forever alone.
You're just wearing boxers and no shirt?
All the time.
What is wrong with people?
All the time.
Dude, that's weird.
Wait. It's not weird. I'm by myself. Why is that weird?
But you have no shirt on and just box. You don't like put gym shorts on?
Only sometimes do I put gym shorts on. Usually it's just undies, yeah.
So you're not wearing a shirt either?
No.
I just think it's... You don't get cold or anything?
No, despite my very frail frame, I run very hot.
I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay, so when you're on Sundays, when we're doing Vikings Ventline from our own homes, and you're setting up Vikings Ventline, you're not putting a shirt on until basically like we go into our production studio.
Yes, that is correct.
Did you have shorts or pants besides your boxers on?
I did have shorts on. Ventline? Okay, shorts on, yeah. I had shorts on.
There's something very disturbing about the fact if we were doing Ventline with you and boxers,
I do think
possibly with a slippage.
If memory serves right, when I was quarantined at home a couple weeks ago, there may have been a show where I had no pants on. Just 100%. Because you didn't have to see anything. You only see the goods right up here.
I wouldn't call those goods.
They wouldn't.
You know, this started as a very simple question. Do you wear a robe? And it somehow turned into Declan being a nudist.
I am a man of robe lifestyle, anyway. Just so you know.
I used to be. I'm not now, but I would wear those robes. Those robes that Donaldson bought.
Very comfortable.
Which run, how much do you guys think? A piece.
Oh, I mean, the custom print on the back. I mean, those are probably $500 robes.
$500.
Those are probably $500 robes.
Silk or what?
What's the material? Look like a cotton blend to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I trust you on this.
Yeah, it looked like there was some.
Actually, I wouldn't know.
I don't know if there's like a silk cotton. There's a little polyester in there just to
prevent
the shrinkage.
The Twins would be very smart when fans return and can go shopping at Target Field to jump on that bandwagon.
I agree. Yeah. Actually, these would be great Christmas gifts because a lot of people are looking to wear robes around Christmas time, except for Declan, who's just naked apparently.
I thought Brendel was weird.
Yeah, what's weird?
All right, but I'm not like documenting on social media that, hey guys, look what I'm wearing today.
No, volunteered up on the podcast.
I mean, but that's fine. Like, I'm not giving you the visual.
I got it.
I'm not like actually. Well, I'm not actually naked.
No, I've got the visual.
I did give you the visual.
Anyhow, I have a question for you guys about
skinny guy in boxers.
About the last few games.
Football.
Here. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Another home run for Byron Buxton last night, and he hit what should have been an RBI single in his last at bat. Great play by the third baseman, a diving stop there. Do you hit Byron Buxton leadoff in the playoff next week?
At the rate he's going, absolutely, yes. He's playing great. That game last night, boy, that is probably one of the most routine, complete games that I've seen him play. Like, this to me is the dream.
Complete with him not crashing into the fence.
Well, Phil, he made a catch in each gap, so two catches last night, that he made look so routine, you never considered the fact that I would guess on 85% of center fielders in the game today, they're both at least doubles. He just glided over and made...
That's the most underrated thing about him and underappreciated, because he makes an easy catch in the gap. And it's like, I thought that ball was maybe going to be a double. I guess Buxton was shaded that direction. It's like, no, he ran 50 yards.
Yeah, I know.
On a full sprint.
It's incredible.
And if anybody else for this team, including Jake Cave, were playing center field, that's a triple.
Well, and Cave is going to dive, and so it's a triple for sure.
If not,
a potential
inside
the park home run.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do too.
He gets lead off.
So he's not the biggest. It's a little bit, I think, I think it goes against the grain of like typical analytical strategy in that you want someone at the top of the order who gets on base at a higher clip more than you want someone who's fast. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, for 100-plus years in baseball, it was you put your fastest guy in the leadoff spot because if that guy gets on base, he can wreak havoc. Mm-hmm. But the if that guy gets on base part is the most important thing that people finally figured out in like the early 2000s, like Moneyball, the Boston Red Sox, the Oakland A's. No, let's now if we can find a guy like Johnny Damon who gets on base at a high clip and he's fast, perfect. Or Ricky Henderson for all those years, even before analytics were a big part of baseball. Mm-hmm. But in this case, even though he has like a 285 on base percentage right now, I think you have to factor in two things that if he gets on base, like he's historically great at moving from station to station. I mean, he is like Ricky Henderson, like pick the fastest, best base runners, Vince Coleman, that you've ever seen in your life watching baseball. When he gets on base, he can do the most damage and is the most likely to score first to home or second to, you know, on an infield single up the middle. Like he can score from second base.
He's a nightmare.
Getting him on base is a nightmare. I'll use that word that you just used for opposing teams.
Yes.
And on the on base front, he's getting on base at a much higher clip lately because he's just so hot. So he's never going to be a guy that draws like four walks in a series, but I'm good with putting him leadoff because if he's hot, he's going to do a lot of damage with guys like Josh Donaldson and Nelson Cruz batting behind him.
The game that Buxton had on Tuesday night is a game that if he could repeat on any sort of consistent basis, and it's not a game where I don't think you say, oh my God, but you do say that's incredibly solid. If he repeated that game throughout the 2021 season, that's an MVP type of year.
It is.
Like, that is an MVP. That's a guy who saves your bacon defensively, hits a home run. I mean, he doesn't do things where you say, oh, man, 4 for 4. But he does so many things so well. And this is why, comes back to why I'm so enamored by him.
Yep. I mean, think about when you watch some of these mobile quarterbacks. Like, you watch Kyler Murray in the first two games this year, or Lamar Jackson, what he's done the first year and a half as a starter. And if you watch those games, now if you're a Vikings fan and you're watching Kirk and then you flip over to an Arizona Cardinals game for like a quarter, it's jarring how often like on 3rd and 6, Kyler Murray looks up, runs for 8 yards, standard first down. Like it's just part of it's what he can do. Or Lamar Jackson, like, oh, first read's not there. Okay, I'm just going to run 15 yards for this first down. Like easy peasy. It wasn't like, you know, Michael Vick juke button 9 times. It was just a standard 15-yard run by a guy who can do it. But then when you watch the Vikings and Kirk Cousins gets in that same situation, he can't do those things. You know, I think we've become accustomed to watching Buxton catch some of these balls in the alleys because we watch him on a nightly basis, and it's like, oh, yeah, Buxton's going to catch that.
Yes.
And then you look at some of these other teams, and even like Aaron Hicks is a good defensive center fielder. Remember that ball he dove and caught to end the game in that like 14-13
Buxton,
game?
Buxton does not die for that.
No, that was a great catch.
Yes.
And Aaron Hicks made all the highlights for the rest of the season, in part because he's not as fast as Byron Buxton. Buxton doesn't dive. He just catches that on the fly, right?
Yeah.
So, I think it's kind of a no-brainer at this point to just put him at the top, hope that he's still hot against the Yankees, and watch them have to deal with that variable. All right, what else stood out to you?
Football. Oh, I want to talk about your guy. 3 innings of Colfaxian-like perfection. Dude. Let's talk about your guy, God. Homer Bailey.
Dude, he's ridiculous.
Homer Bailey got that start, and I think by the end you were thinking game one wild card round, game one ALDS, game 1-7 ALCS, and World Series, you probably go 1-4-7.
A very Madison Bumgarner 2014-esque performance in the playoffs lined up for him. Yeah, he ran out of gas a little bit there in the fourth inning or whatever it was. But I'll tell you, in those first 3 innings, and I texted you guys this sort of tongue-in-cheek, if it was between like the last spot on your roster and you have to pick a pitcher, is it him or Randy Dobnak? I think it's a discussion because I think Homer Bailey's going to miss more bats. He's not going to be Sandy Koufax, but like I think if it's a discussion, the last spot on your roster, it's got to be a long guy that you might have to use in the playoffs. I would consider putting Homer Bailey in there just based on what we saw in the first 2 or 3 innings. Like you can get something out of him in 2 or 3 inning spurts if you need it.
I'm so torn on that, and it's so like if I especially first round, if I have to use Dobnik or Bailey, I'm sort of just like, okay, I guess
that's,
I do.
That's a good point, too.
But I'm just so, yeah. But anyway, I thought it was hilarious. Three innings of just greatness from Bailey, and then I was like, okay, I'm really tired now.
Football.
So you were at the game last night, and mm-hmm. you were observing things late in that game. There was that play where Tigers hitter hits a ball down the third baseline. It pops off the bag, and Josh Donaldson makes a ridiculously athletic, barehanded grab, fires the ball over to first base, not in time. If it would have been in time, it would have been one of the great defensive plays we've ever seen. But you were sort of looking at his body language and texting back and forth. What are your thoughts on? Do you have a conspiracy theory here?
No.
Are you off this take?
No, I'm not off the take. I asked Baldelli post game. I said, because so from afar, he makes that play. Well, he didn't get the out, but he makes the play.
Yeah.
And he ran a long ways, and I thought to myself, that's not great for that calf. And he sort of, you could see, sort of pulled up a little bit, like nothing where he grabbed his knees and like got down and looked like he was hurt. But he looked just a little bit weird. And then I looked up in the press box and saw on TV, it looked like he had put his jersey in his mouth and sort of clenched it. Like that didn't feel great. So I was like, okay, that's a little bit odd, but you know what? It's one play. He is not exactly a young guy. And so I'm like, okay, there might be something here, but there might be nothing. Here's where I got legitimately concerned, and here's where I think he might not play tonight, at least. He came up in the bottom of the ninth and grounded into, I think it was a 6-4-3 double play.
Yeah.
And I watched him. He didn't run. He basically sort of skipped down the line. He hopped and was out by a ton. And he's not the type of guy, I don't think, in that predicament who's going to not try.
Kind of. Okay, here's my take on that real quick. I think if you've watched him since he came back from the calf injury, he hasn't been going full sprint really at all around the bases, right. And I'm fine with that.
And I agree with you completely. It was how he ran that concerned me. Like, he didn't run like you would run. He sort of ran like I'm compensating. So he grounds out, and then in the top of the 10th, he goes out and plays third. So I'm like, well, that's good. And then in the bottom of the 10th, and this is up for a judgment call, he made the last out, obviously, with a double play of the 9th. So he was going to run and be at second base to start the bottom of the 10th. And Jake Cave ran for him. Now, post-game, I asked Baldelli, I said, is Josh fine? And Baldelli basically admitted that they asked him that question. He said he is fine. He told us he's fine. And ultimately, and this does make sense, Cave is just faster. So put it all together, put together the Twins' history of not exactly telling the truth on guys who are nicked up. And I think at the very least, I think you're not going to see tonight, you're not going to see my guess, Cruz again, which worries me a little bit here, because he was off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and it's either a knee or hamstring. Cruz told the ESPN Sunday night crew it's a hamstring. The Twins are saying knee. Polanco has an ankle that Baldelli basically admitted postgame has been bothering him for quite some time, and it sounds like it's not really good, and Polanco's pain threshold is high. So I don't know when Polanco, before the playoffs start, is going to play again. And I really believe that they're probably going to try and rest Josh, too, because if nothing else, it's probably if you have a question there, it's probably the smart move.
Yeah. Well, I think they're probably torn now because they're scoreboard watching a little bit. Yes. They'd probably like to avoid the, and I don't think they're sweating the Yankees, but I think they would like to avoid playing on the road if possible, in part because you just don't like traveling and stuff. Like if you're winning at home, it's just more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to put yourself in position to maybe win the division or at least stay ahead of the Yankees for that 4 seed. But also, regardless of who or where you play, making sure, most importantly, that guys feel good, that they're healthy, that you're not running a guy out there and risking injury. So I'm kind of with you in that, well, I don't know, maybe you disagree with this, but I think you should err on the side of get guys healthy first. If a guy's at 75%, get him to 90% by next Tuesday first, and then worry about catching the White Sox second. If you can do both, great.
I don't want to rest guys for the sake of resting them. I want them to play because I do think that winning the division and avoiding the Yankees is the prudent move. That being said, if guys are legitimately hurt or banged up, I'm not going to play them now despite myself, and then they come in on Monday or Tuesday and have a problem. So
football.
I got one more for you, Bills.
I have one too afterwards.
I have like four more, so let's keep going. We have okay. Write that down. In
I got
like
at least
15
one more.
Minutes.
We're okay,
good. We're good.
Okay, here's mine. He might be completely off his rocker, and he is certainly as anti-Twins as far as his approach to life as one can probably get. But Donaldson, okay, I want to talk about not his approach at the plate, but the field. And what a joy this guy, and I hope for the 2021 season he can stay healthy. What a joy he is to watch, much like Buxton, in the field as a baseball fan.
Yeah, he's a pro.
He is a pro's pro. He makes plays. You have to see Jake Cave play center or Miguel Sano play third to appreciate Buxton and JD, because what they bring, you realize, oh my God, that really simple play that that guy made, or his positioning being so damn good, or his instincts, that's not necessarily the norm, right? But let me give you the play, and I believe it was Baldelli who brought this up post-game last night. Let me give you the Donaldson fielding play or thought that he had in the field that might impress me as much as the great play that he almost made. The 6-2-5 double play in last night's game. So the Twins are up against it. Bailey is tuckered out. Stashek comes in, right? And at some point in time, I think it was when Baldelli went to get Bailey, they all start to talk about one out, bases loaded, what are we going to do here? What's the approach? And what Rocco brought up was Donaldson said, be aware if it's an infield ground ball of going home and then to me.
Oh, so he learned from the disaster between Luis Arraez and Jorge Polanco from 2 weeks ago, where they should have had a triple play and said, guys, let's not repeat that.
No, right, but yes, but I mean, at least he's thinking, but at least he's thinking out there. Yeah. At least he is a pro's pro. Like he brings things, and you're right, that play was a disaster, and worse, it was embarrassing, right?
I'm glad that he said that. I'm not trying to minimize it. Like it's great leadership to say, hey, situational baseball here. Let's make sure we're thinking ahead on this.
But it's also not. But a 6-2-5 is also not a top of mind thing that a lot of people would think about.
The 6-2 should be.
Oh
the,
yeah.
The 2-5 part. The 2-5
right.
Is the part
right.
That
6-6-2 like 3 maybe, but 6-2-5 the 5 part is the outlier of the play. But it's stuff like that. That I love.
Yes.
Because it's stuff like that that a lot of guys would, in their wildest dreams during a meeting at the mound, never mention.
Football.
All right. I have some half-baked reckless speculation for you here.
Reckless speculation.
So if Jorge Polanco truly is, like, really banged up, and if Ari Adrianza, who took another ball off his toe, I believe, yesterday, and just, like, also seemed to get banged up.
I know where this is going.
You make. Think
yes.
The Twins should call up Royce Lewis?
Yes.
They can't.
Why can't they?
They set their, I believe it's the 40-man playoff squad yesterday. He is not he is not on that squad.
Who was that? Was Kirilloff on it?
Yes. Kirilloff's on it. Larnach is not on it. Royce Lewis is not.
So Kirilloff,
I love the speculation though.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Is there any downside to calling up Kirilloff as just a bench? I feel like they should have had him up maybe for a couple of weeks just to see.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there is. Someone would have to explain it to me.
Yeah, I mean it would be fun. Yeah. I love the speculation there.
No, it's bravo for the reckless speculation.
Football.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, real quick point, just back to the Buxton discussion because I looked this up and then I got another thing for you guys. We'll keep going around here. So just to illustrate how under the radar great Byron Buxton is, because a lot of the things he does just don't show up as like an RBI or a run. Like he'll take away a run because he prevented a double and you'll never even think about it. It's not like the bases were loaded and he took away a double. Sometimes it's just he took away a leadoff double and that guy would have scored in any other inning with any other center fielder. So Mike Trout is a Hall of Famer. He is our generation's Mickey Mantle. He's amazing. Mike Trout's lost a step in center field, and if you go by Fangraphs defensive runs saved, there's like 140 qualified outfielders this season who've been out there for at least 100 innings. And Mike Trout's actually last in defensive runs saved this year. So, wow. So he's probably going to move to a corner at some point. He's getting to that age.
That's
where
really
like,
it's
probably going to move to a corner. So Mike Trout is a -9 defensive run saved. Byron Buxton is the second best only because he's missed like 2 weeks. Otherwise, he'd be best in baseball. Byron Buxton is a +10. All right. So I know this is not like the best example that I'm going to drop for you guys, but just to like bring it to a baseball back of the baseball card, Mike Trout has 43 RBIs. Byron Buxton has 25 RBIs. And like, up until we had this type of information, a defensive run save plus minus, you'd say, oh, Mike Trout's just like clearly the superior offensive player, which he is. And yeah, they're both like pretty good in center field. But maybe Buxton's a little bit better. But like, I mean, Mike Trout, 43 RBIs, Buxton 25. Well, what if we, and this is not a scientific exercise, so I wouldn't recommend doing this at home. But Mike Trout, 43 RBIs, but a -9 defensive run saved in center field. So let's knock 9 off that total to get him to 34. Byron Buxton, 25 RBIs, but a +10 in center field defensive run save. Let's add 10 to that total. Byron Buxton, 35. Mike Trout, 34. And so, again, that's not like how you would do it in a Major League Baseball front office, but I think it's a good illustration of there's more to the game than just like RBI totals and sort of eye test in center field, that there are things you can measure and quantify, and Byron Buxton is elite in some of those areas.
Absolutely, yeah. So. He is. If Buxton can play 100 and take your pick, 50 games in 2021, okay? And he can play a semblance of like he did last night, which is really damn good, but certainly not, oh my God, I can't believe it. He is an MVP candidate, and there's no question about it.
Easily.
Football.
What's the playoff rotation right now? Not what you guys think it is, but how is it setting up?
Maeda. And then we're going to find out whoever starts on Friday against the Reds and then who starts on Saturday. And then, so my guess is what they're going to do is Maeda goes tonight. So he'll go in game one, which I believe is next Tuesday, correct? My guess is that the second starter will be...
It's probably Berríos.
Yeah, I'm torn there, but that would make sense. And then Pineda, and then I bet you... Do you think they'd pitch Rich Hill on Sunday then or go like bullpen game or do something else?
I think Sunday's
just to sort of blow that off.
I think Sunday's either a bullpen game or they just go back to Homer Bailey on Sunday so that they can keep everybody fresh. Yeah, I don't think you want to run Rich Hill out there on Sunday because then he probably can't pitch in the series unless you want to bring him back on short rest.
So what can Rich Hill, if he doesn't start, what can he realistically be expected to do and be successful, do you think?
I don't expect a lot if he's not starting. I don't know how much he can help you in a three-game series in which he's not starting. I think his value is, and maybe this is why you would start him on Sunday. Maybe you'd start him on Sunday and you leave him off your first-round roster or something. I don't know. But I think once you get into, if you can get past the first round and you get into a five-game series in 5 days, I think he's a huge valuable piece as like a number four starter. You know, think about what he's given you, especially in his last couple starts, and his ERA is like 3.2. What he's given you and all the experience he has and his overall performance the last 5 or 6 years, also in the National League, compared to most teams, including the Yankees, number four starters. It's a huge advantage. So, But I don't know how much he's going to help you in a three-game series because I don't know if I trust him. He's 40, man. Like, I don't know if I trust him. Hey, it's the fifth inning, Rich.
Yeah, can you warm him up?
Yeah, get it going, buddy.
Well, you could get him up at, like, if it's a 7 o'clock start.
Get him up at noon?
11 a.m.
Yeah.
Hey, Rich, get up and start throwing, huh?
He's still in his robe.
He's smoking a heater. Yeah.
Football.
Or if he's you.
Or it's
boxer,
you.
Boxer shorts and no shirt in the bullpen.
Freewheeling it.
Unbelievable.
Joe, what else you got? I got a couple more things here.
Go ahead.
All right. The light bulb is flickering. It's not on, but it's flickering for Mitch Garver. And if the light bulb is about to go on for Mitch Garver, who hit just a beautiful home run off the facing of the third deck last night, if the light bulb starts to go on for him, it's a game changer in that. But also, like, if it doesn't go on, I wouldn't feel too terrible about Ryan Jeffers just playing games in the playoffs. But Mitch Garver was legitimately one of the best hitting catchers in all of baseball last year. And so, like, if he's just going to join the party now in time for the playoffs, then
who's the better? Who gets the nod defensively? Because that's a very underrated, important discussion because I want my guy that tricks umpires the best. Because
yeah.
They get tricked so much.
Jeffers is really good. They're both good at it. I think they're both good
at
it.
But is Garver slightly better, do we think? Because that's an important part of the equation to me.
I don't know, and I haven't dug enough to know the difference between the two. And I also think it's probably still too small of a sample for Ryan Jeffers because he's only been here for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But they both, just eye test alone, they both seem to have a pretty good command behind the plate. And I'm like, most rookie catchers come in and pitchers don't like working with them and they're just kind of deer in the headlights and they don't take charge of things. And Ryan Jeffers seems like he does those things. So I don't know, but it's hard because like there's no clubhouse access. It's like you can't go and like talk to a catcher or a pitcher about it for 30 minutes. It's hard to know like what everyone thinks of Ryan Jeffers in this current environment.
That brings up a fantastic point about the Twins and baseball as a whole in 2020, Phil. We know almost nothing about this team. Like, I can't tell you how Donaldson has fit in. I can't tell you, and yes, our access previously has been sort of brief, right? Like, we go in clubhouses post-game, and guys aren't all there. And then pre-game, but I mean, you get a feel. Like Cruz, last year, Cruz's presence in that clubhouse in the limited time that we got in there was just blatantly obvious. Like, it hits you smack dab in the middle of the forehead. And you said, oh my God, this is really effective. I can't tell you how little I can tell you about this Twins team. I don't know who rubs people the wrong way. I don't know who guys absolutely love.
I'm going to guess that because Josh Donaldson bought all those expensive robes for his teammates, I'm going to guess that he's probably a good team builder. Like, stuff like that.
I think
like
he's got a good clue, but yeah.
That's a thoughtful thing to bring the guys together, to put some fun into the dugout, into the clubhouse, going into the playoffs. Like, that's a guy that is thinking about team chemistry.
And
I think that's cool.
And then Cruz goes and says, in game. The robes come in game.
Yep. And that's like, I know that we're kind of joking around about it and like, yeah, it's like the Ric Flair walk and stuff, but like those are sort of the little things. Yep. When you think about teams that win the World Series, like obviously just having David Ortiz in your lineup is the most important thing. It's that little extra layer of chemistry and cohesion and guys just like love picking each other up if a guy makes a mistake. And I think, I don't know if that accounts for 2% of it or if it accounts for 10% of it, but it accounts for more than 0% of it.
And I think it's extremely important this year based on this, the bubble. Like, the bubble's going to be trying, and yes, it's brief, it's a month, but in essence, I think it's going to suck. And so I think the more that you can have your veteran guys try and ease guys. Like, here's one. I can never tell with Kepler previously, and this is a guess again, but with Kepler previously, he's always seemed sort of arrogant and cocky, but he's also understated, and so I could never tell what his deal was, right?
He's kind of a weird guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. But here's my feeling on him after this year and the 60 games and sort of how he is produced and or often disappointingly until of late not produced. I think he's a sensitive guy. Like, I think he comes off as arrogant a little bit and detached because he's sensitive, and I don't think he really wants to talk much. But I don't think there's a different switch to him behind the scenes where he becomes completely brash with his teammates. I think he's just sort of a sensitive guy, and I think that this year, my sense is it's been tough for him. Like, he's been away probably from his family a lot. It's just weird. His life has changed, and I think that there's guys who thrive off that, and they're absolutely fine. And then there's guys, or people, who don't. And Donaldson and Cruz and the robes, I think, help a guy like Kepler relax. And total guess. But like last night.
See, Declan, see what you're missing?
Yeah.
Last night it seemed like he was having fun. Max Kepler has not looked like a guy, either in person being at games or watching games on TV this year, who's looked like he's had any fun until of late.
They should give, it should be a robe and a cigar. And some flip-flops.
There's got to be a cigar involved, right?
Just kick back at the end of the dugout.
Last two things sound great to me.
I'm with Declan here on robes, but if you get me one of those robes, I think my feeling about robes changes. Like, Dawn bought me a robe, but it's just a crappy sort of, I mean, I hope she's not going to hear this, but it's just sort of a pedestrian, boring robe. But I think if you got me a lush robe to put on my body,
there are certain things that you just need to pay a little extra money for in life.
Yeah.
Toilet paper and robes are definitely in that
Kiki's
category.
In there.
All right.
Yeah.
One more thing for you guys here.
Yeah. Football.
One more thing before we get to write that down predictions and a brutal accountability session. All right. I guarantee after I say this, he's going to hit two home runs tonight because that's how he rolls. But remember when you and I were just getting pummeled for our Miguel Sano takes like 3 weeks ago?
Of course.
And I said, like, he's a really good power hitter. He's just kind of replaceable. Like, you can find really good power hitters who strike out all the time.
3 weeks ago.
What are you talking about?
3 months ago. Yes, I do.
He's leading the league in strikeouts, 84 strikeouts in 49 games. He's batting .212 with a .287 on base percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He's still slugging over .500, but his slugging percentage is actually 100 points lower than Byron Buxton's. So, like, he's Byron Buxton. He's diet Byron Buxton, basically, without the speed, without the defense. And he fell on his ass last night trying to.
Wait, did you say he's diet Buxton? He's anything?
Well, his numbers are diet Buxton, but okay. But he looks like he ate Byron Buxton. And again, like, he's probably going to hit a big home run against the Yankees in the playoffs, and that's why he's on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to point out, like, this dude could not be more Jekyll and Hyde, where he'll be white hot and the best hitter in baseball for five games, and then he'll strike out every at bat for the next 2 weeks, and we're kind of, and then he'll hit like a couple random home runs within that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we're looking at. He also has 25 RBIs, 13 home runs in those 49 games. So he would be, over the course of a full season, on pace for 75 RBIs. Because he doesn't drive in runs when he doesn't hit home runs. Because he can't make contact. Just want to throw that out there. He's worth having on the team. But
football.
Okay, do you know what that just guaranteed for the game tonight?
He hits two to three home runs.
100%.
The anagram goes out 10 minutes before.
And guess what's going to happen? Twitter is going to light up with, hey, Mackie, did you like that home run by Sano tonight?
Yeah, I think it was,
and then you're going to get the career slugging percentage. I mean, I can tell you, this is scripted.
I think it was Nick Nelson from Twins Daily that retweeted one of my negative Sano tweets during the middle of his hottest stretch of his career and said, like, this belongs in the bad take Hall of Fame. Well, you know what? I've already had my gold jacket for that Hall of Fame for about 8 years.
It's not a jacket now. It's a robe.
It's a robe.
It's been turned into a robe. That's exactly right. Hey, Sano hit a foul ball onto the Budweiser.
TC Bear got it.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, did you see where that ball went?
That was a bomb.
It was a bomb.
That
was a bomb.
That is a man who has a career in a traveling softball show someday.
All right, we got to get to write that down.
Write this down.
Just a quick heads up. We are feeling very generous on Mackie and Judd and on Purple Daily this week. We are giving away a Corona Hard Seltzer Ultimate Home Tailgate Party for free.
Love it.
Here's how you get it. We're going to give it away to one lucky person. A 65-inch TCL TV with a soundbar, $200 worth of Grunhofer's meats, $100 to MGM Wine and Spirits. You can enter in one of two ways. You can either download the Score North app. It's free in the Google and Apple stores. Register your name and email and enter through Listener Rewards, or just go to scorenorth.com, click on Rewards. You'll see it. It's right there. And you can register. It's free. We're feeling very generous. Thanks to TCL Grunhofer's and MGM Wine and Spirits, and also Corona Hard Seltzer.
Write this down.
Most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd with Rami. This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write this down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
It's Write That Down with Mackie, Judd, and Rami.
Write that down. Write that down. I don't have a pencil.
Well, remember that then.
And welcome in to the most transparent segment in sports talk. Write That Down predictions and an accountability session. We are the only show in the country that actually keeps track of our predictions, holds each other accountable with batting averages. Here's how it works. We also welcome in guest listener predictors every week. We're going to get to Ben and VikesFan1930 from Twitter. Going to join us. I like when people just go by their Twitter handles, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
I dig it.
So here's how Write That Down works. Three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable in some way. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And if you want to participate in this segment, you can just slide into my Twitter DMs at Phil Mackey, like Chris Collinsworth used to slide into the Sunday Night Football frame, but isn't anymore this year because COVID. Just hit me up on Twitter if you want to participate. And I sometimes it takes me a week or two to just like get back to people. So I apologize if I haven't gotten back to you. I will sometime this week, and we'll get you scheduled in. But shall we go through the accountability session?
Write this down.
Don't really want to.
Declan, you okay with this week?
Yeah.
Well, last week you didn't like it?
I won't like this week, I can tell you that much.
Well, Judd shouldn't like this week either.
Okay, thank God.
It wasn't a total train wreck, but Judd Zolgad said Philip Rivers will throw at least two interceptions in the game against the Vikings.
I got one, right?
An early one, too.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking I was in good shape on that one.
You said Dalvin Cook will rush for more than 100 yards in at least two of the first three games this season.
That one was not close.
Has he rushed for 100 yards total?
I'd have to look. Probably around.
I don't know if he
probably
has.
Around it.
Declan's got it.
He's probably close.
113 yards total.
All right, nice job. And you said Rich Hill will lead the Twins in wins in 2020.
Don, I should have said Kenta Maeda.
I'm taking, there's a bunch of twin season predictions that will come off the board next week because there's just like, there's a million that probably could already come off the board because
right.
a lot of like Twins will break the home run record.
I hear you.
But Rich Hill's not, mathematically, right. cannot catch the Dobber with six wins, by the way.
Oh, it's the Dobber. It's not my, Kenta has five?
Yep, Kenta has five.
I thought Kenta, okay.
I think
the Dobber.
Barrios might have five or something. And all right. the Dobber has six.
Fair enough.
But you said Ron Gardenhire will manage. You said this a long time ago. You said Ron Gardenhire
Whoa!
Will manage three seasons in Detroit. That was his contract. It was a three-year contract.
Yeah.
Three seasons in Detroit and then won't be brought back.
Yeah!
And that right there, folks, if there's kids listening or watching at home right now, Judd Zolgad just taught you a masterclass in write that down phrasing right here. Phrasing. So he says, and won't be brought back. If you had said, and will be fired,
I've been wrong.
This would not have been a point for
I
you.
I would have been wrong.
But won't be brought back. It was a mutual decision. Ron Gardenhire decided just for health reasons. And so Judd gets the point there. Jonathan Harrison, our old producer and last year's batting average champion. Rough week for him. He said LeBron James will be the MVP in 2019-20. Giannis was the MVP.
LeBron not happy about that, by the way.
Using it as motivation to win another title.
Yeah,
this
very
season.
Jordan-like.
And he said the NFL season won't start until November. I missed this one last week.
John
yeah,
Bob.
They're off to the races.
Okay.
All right, let's get to Manny Hill here. A couple NBA predictions gone awry for Manny. He said Jarrett Culver will finish in the top three of the Rookie of the Year voting.
Cool.
He didn't even finish in, like, I don't think he was even on
get
anyone's ballot. Robert Covington will be an all-NBA defensive team guy in 2019-20. He was not on either of the first or second all-defensive teams.
A little surprising.
Oof. Rami, nothing off the board. Rough week for me as well here. I said Philip Rivers will commit at least two turnovers against the Vikings. God, he had one in the bag in like the
first
quarter.
And we were in such good shape.
Yeah, we were.
Like, how much of a bad beat is it when Philip Rivers flings an interception, like, you know,
early,
13 minutes into the game or yep. whatever it was, and then you don't get another one?
Yep.
I said the Vikings will win on Sunday. And I said the NFL will play the 2020 season behind closed doors. Well, there's not that many fans, but there's enough.
And some teams right. are, but not enough. Yep.
Yeah. That brings us to the listeners here, and we're going to need help on one of these here in just a second. Eric R. said Rich Hill will lead the Twins in ERA and wins for the season. Wins is going to be a tough one. John W. said the Lynx will finish with the worst record this season. Well, they're in the semifinals of the playoffs right now. RJ said school will be canceled for the rest of last year, and this year's school year will not start on time. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure like most schools went back
yes,
in some form
that's correct.
On time, right?
Yep.
Kyle last week said Philip Rivers will have at least 19 standard league fantasy points against the Vikings. He only had like 11. But Kyle made up for it by saying, and I think this is a home run because it's a parlay and the Vikings were favored, I think, right? Or whatever. It's a parlay.
I don't think they're favored, but.
But he said the Vikings will lose to the Colts and the Packers will win.
Yeah, it's a parlay. Because it's two independent things that have to happen. So I would say it's a home run.
I think it's a home run.
Yeah!
It's two very 50-50 outcomes.
Yeah.
Packers played the Lions.
The Lions.
The Vikings stink and played the Colts.
It's up for discussion.
If it's a home run.
Or is it a triple?
JK tipped it over
off
the fence.
The glove?
I'm okay with this being a triple.
I think it's a triple.
Okay.
Like if the Packers had played a formidable opponent. Then I might say, yeah, that's it. But this was not exactly a difficult prediction.
Okay.
I'm actually okay with that.
All right.
I think it's good to discuss.
Sorry. Sorry, Kyle.
And then I need help on this one. Who won the coin toss? The Vikings got the kick, the opening kick.
Colts won, right?
Did the Colts win the coin toss?
I don't know.
And then
know.
They deferred to the second half.
It's in the, if you
I couldn't
two
find it. I went to four game logs and couldn't find it.
It should be in the game book. Hold on a second here. If you got 2 seconds, I can go to the game book right
why
now
do,
check,
why do I do Vikings-Colts Pro Football Reference? The first game that comes up is 1969 Baltimore Colts. Why can't I just get the 2021?
Is that the Super? They played them in the Super Bowl, didn't they? Is that the Vikings' first Super Bowl?
Nope, Kansas City.
Kansas City.
1970. Yeah. Let me see here. I've got the NFL game site called up.
This is very important.
The Vikings, this is very important.
Viking game book. Here we are. Game book. I want to say the Colts won the, and deferred like everyone does now, unlike my childhood when you never deferred.
It's amazing how hard it is to find this. I Googled like six different phrases.
Indy won the toss and elects to defer.
Okay.
Rough.
Sorry, Kyle.
All right, so... Kyle, that was a rough one. So ignore what you see on the screen here when we get there. But Declan Goff, Justin Jefferson will catch his first NFL touchdown on Sunday against the Colts. The Vikings will bounce back for a win, and Phillip Rivers will be sacked at least three times. And Judd will inevitably rip the Twins for letting Maeda go into the ninth inning with a career high in pitch count. I think we're past that point. I mean, unless you guys want to debate this.
Well, wasn't it? It was already off the board, I thought. And you took it off as a hit, and we were going to bring it back. If it came true, I thought initially that was the case.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
I took it off the week that this happened.
Okay,
and then you were like, no, let's leave it on because he might rip him still. I mean,
okay,
got
it.
No.
I'm just saying I didn't want to get 0-2. I didn't want to lose it twice on my batting average. But if I only lost it once, then
you've only lost it once.
Okay, cool. That's all I care about.
Yeah. So no, I'm not going to rip him.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Sorry.
We'll trust Judd at his word. All right. So the listeners have a slightly different. Average here, but Judd Zolgad, 437 with three home runs on the season. Rami Makhlouf, 396 with a home run. Declan down to 370 with a home run. I'm down to 320 with two home runs. Listeners are actually batting 243 with one home run. John Harrison, 200 with two home runs. And Manny Hill, 154.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
With one home run. Vikes fan 1930 on Twitter. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to Write That Down. And then, Ben, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Awesome. All right. We got our two guest listener predictors. We're going to go around the room three times. We'll start with VikesFan1930. We'll go to Ben, Judd, Declan, and back to me, Phil. VikesFan, what's your strategy today? This is a home run edition.
I told them, bring the swings.
I told them, bring the swings. This is a forced
your
home run edition.
Your strategy is to swing from your heels, Miguel Sano. Go ahead.
So you can either hit bombs to the upper deck, or you can hit them Joe Mauer 2009 style, but you must swing for the fences.
With the stick.
Forced home run addiction. Addition.
Write this down.
Write that down.
So says you.
VikesFan, swing away.
So after Declan gave me the clue, I went to my fantasy football group and did a poll for some home run edition. So the first two are from the group as the most popular because I wanted to go with Zolgaddy in here. So if it's wrong, it's not my fault. It's the group's fault.
I like it.
So the first prediction from the group is a Super Bowl prediction that the Arizona Cardinals will beat the Baltimore Ravens 38-35 on a last-second field goal.
Wow. I love it.
That's
awfully specific. Did you get all that, Dex?
Yeah.
Awesome swing.
That's awfully specific.
Way to go.
Write this down.
Write that down. I don't have a pencil.
Well, remember that, Dan.
All right, Ben, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Swing away, Ben.
All right, I'm not going to go for as big of a home run as VikesFan just did there. I'm just going to clear the fence.
Good for you.
Even with all of his speed, Byron Buxton has not hit a triple yet this year.
Wow.
So write this down. Byron Buxton will hit his first triple of 2020 at Petco Park.
Ah, that's a great ballpark for triples. Yeah. Byron Buxton's going to be legendary inside that ballpark, tracking down doubles and triples.
That's a big old pitcher's park right there.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
Judd.
All right, forced home run swing. I also have a Byron Buxton prediction, but I am going for the monster shot here. I'm going on to Waveland or Sheffield. Take your pick. Byron Buxton will be named MVP of the World Series.
Whoa, okay.
I feel like you have a World Series MVP prediction on the board here.
I had one on the forced home run a couple of years ago on Xavier Rhodes being named MVP of the Super Bowl.
You've got Max Kepler as the MVP of the 2020 World Series.
Now I got Byron Buxton.
Little hedge.
You've got...
Now I got Byron Buxton, man. I'm going for home runs here.
Yep, and now you got Buxton, so, well...
And it's not going to be Kepler. I've decided that was probably an ill-informed pick. So
wait,
now
is that a parlay?
Buxton.
Is that a parlay?
What's that?
And it's not going to be Kepler?
No, I'm just saying I don't think it's going to be Kepler now.
Oh, wow.
Write it down. You like writing things
I didn't
down.
Say write that
write
down.
Write this down.
If I had said write that down, it's not going to be Kepler, then I forced my own hand.
All right, Dex, you're up.
All right, the Twins will win the division, and they will not lose a game in the wild card round. So a parlay. Wow. So they will win the division.
Yes.
And they will not lose a game in the wild card round.
Dude, I'm going to have to change one of my predictions
now.
That's nice. What?
No, mine was like not even, mine was partially that.
Okay.
And so.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right. My prediction was that the Twins would sweep the wild card round, which is, that's
it's two games.
That's like a Byron Buxton, like ball stuck on the fence inside the park home run.
Yeah.
So I'll say the Twins will sweep the wild card round. And both starting pitchers in the series will go at least six innings and allow two earned runs or fewer. All right?
Okay.
So they're going to get great pitching performances by whoever starts Maeda and then whoever starts game two.
Good phrasing.
Write it down. You like writing things down. Write this down.
Watch them use like Matt Whistler as an opener and then Barrio shoves for eight and I don't get credit. All right, back to Vikes fan 1930.
So the second prediction from the group, because I am in Virginia, and of course they have to do the obligatory NFC East prediction, so I do apologize. The Washington football team will win the division at 7-9, and a little bit of a parlay here, that Philadelphia will help them win directly or indirectly with certain playoff scenarios to knock Dallas out of playoff contention.
Okay, so explain that part of it, because we need to quantify this.
Yeah.
So, it'll, like, you know how like week 16, if team A beats team B, then kind of team C gets in, kind of, sort of. I was trying to make it kind of bold because they just said Washington football team at 7-9 will win the division. So I can just stick with that if that's already home run enough.
That's a home run enough. Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that, and then we'll make note of the other thing you said just for fun.
So
okay.
They'll win at 7 and end at 7-9.
7-9 will win the division.
Okay.
Is what the prediction is.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Okay.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, back to Ben.
All right, the American League Central Division started in 1994, so write this down. For the first time ever, the American League Championship Series will feature a matchup between two Central Division teams.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I like it.
A lot of East love in the ALCS, a little West love, but I like it. Yeah, usually it's like one team in the Central is kind of like the torch carrier, and it's
not this year.
Yep.
Write that down. I don't have a pencil.
Well, remember that, Dan.
All right, Judd.
All right, my next one. Kenta Maeda will no-hit an opponent through seven innings of postseason game and then be lifted. Kenta Maeda will no-hit an opponent through seven innings, okay?
Yep.
And then be lifted when? Like
of a postseason game.
And then be lifted.
And then he will get seven innings pitched. It will be IP7. And then his day will be done. And the most important thing I said here is postseason game, because technically if I said a playoff game, that could you could argue that I eliminated the World Series, which I don't want to do. Postseason covers everything.
So just for clarification, if he no-hits someone through seven and then someone gets a hit in the eighth and he finishes the entire game, This does not count.
No. This is a home run swing.
So you're including like Rocco Baldelli's decision to pull a guy out of the game.
Yes, this ball is sailing over the light towers right now.
Okay. I love this. This is great.
Write that down.
That's the spirit
of the game. I don't have a pencil. Remember that.
Yep. All right, Declan Goff.
Well, I'll have to mend mine a little bit, but I'm going to wait for my third prediction because I had pretty much almost the same thing for Kenta Maeda, but I'll go with this one for right now. The Vikings will find a way to trade Kirk Cousins this offseason.
Wow!
Yes.
They will find a way to trade Kirkers this offseason.
Who is the executive who gets fired immediately upon completing said trade?
Oh, I love this segment. This
write it down. You like writing things down.
Write that down.
All right, write this down. A home run prediction within home run write that down predictions. Josh Donaldson, the bringer of rain, will bring rain in his first postseason plate appearance. Josh Donaldson will hit a home run in his first postseason plate appearance. Write it down, baby.
Write this down. Write it down. You like writing things down.
Book it. All right, Vikes fan 1930, your last swing.
So Declan just took my last swing, so way to go, Dex.
Sorry, buddy. Attaboy. By the way, you can make the same prediction. You just have to add something to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will say they will trade Kirk Cousins, and Rick will send at least five picks to draft Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields in next year's draft.
That is awesome.
Write that down. I don't have a pencil.
Well, remember that.
Wowzer. I like it.
You like that? You like that?
Oh, man.
That is you. Wow.
Vikes fan, 1930. Take a bow. You get as much time as you need to thank anyone in your life that got you to this point here.
First off, I just thank my wife. And actually, I was just up in Minnesota, so a shout-out to my brother Chad and his new wife, Lexi. He was just married this past weekend. So I'm actually going back to Minnesota for my other brother's wedding next weekend, so I'll be traveling to Twin Cities. I just want to say thank you guys for letting me be on the show. I've been a loyal listener, and as Judd knows, I send him all the Zolgadian articles I can think of. So I just thank you guys for the opportunity and kind of the escape from reality that we're in right now. So keep going strong, and hopefully I'll be able to do this again later on in the season or next season.
Absolutely awesome. Thank you.
That's Vikes fan 1930. And now, Ben, your final swing here.
All right. I'll go for a home run for today. The Twins will hit back-to-back Bombas tonight.
Okay.
I like it. That's a good one. It's not quite an upper deck level home run, but it's definitely
that's a home run.
Yep. And I like Ben's calculated approach to the segment. Ben, since you have this gigantic, massive platform right now, is there anyone in your life you would like to thank that got you to this point?
Yeah, I'd like to thank my wife for being there for me and my Twins roller coaster of emotions. You know, she's been there for me after being swept by the Royals and then even worse, the Tigers this season. And now she's working on me, trying to talk me through another possible playoff matchup with the Yankees. So we'll see how that goes.
She's got a lot of work.
She's got a lot of work. Yesterday she told me, you say that they're going to win every year, and then they play the Yankees and lose. So you should just accept it now.
Yep. And honestly, she's probably right. But you know what?
Acceptance.
She's probably right.
Another year.
Stage of baseball grief. Acceptance.
Smart woman.
All right, Ben. Nice work, man. Thanks for coming on.
See you, Ben.
Thank you.
All right, that's Ben and Vikes fan.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Judd.
All right, I'm going to keep my last one simple, but I think it's effective. The Vikings will win two games all season.
Oh, wow. I almost had that exact one.
The Vikings will.
No, Declan, you're thinking you're 14-2 prediction.
Yeah. Well, I know that. Yeah. I know
is that
yep.
what it was?
Yep.
The
yes.
Vikings.
Sports prediction dislikes.
The Vikings will go 2-14, and I'll just keep it at that because that's by itself. A home run.
Amazing. And also amazing that 1-15 does not get the point there, but still, I mean, you're in the...
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Declan.
All right, Byron Buxton will hit a leadoff home run in a postseason game. So he'll bat leadoff, and then he'll hit a home run.
So it's kind of a parlay. Kind of a parlay. Yep. I like it. All right, and final prediction here before we wrap with Royce.
Write this down.
The Vikings will draft a quarterback in the 2021 draft, and it will be... Tanner Morgan.
Oh, wow.
The Vikings will draft Tanner Morgan in the 2021 NFL draft. Staying home. Rowing the boat. Rowing the boat all the way across campus, downtown Minneapolis, to U.S. Bank Stadium.
And they'll make a trade to get a second first-round pick and take Rashad Bateman.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? How much fun would that be?
You want to add to that?
How much would you have to trade? So you could probably get Tanner Morgan without trading. Like you'd have to keep whatever your first round pick is and just use that on Tanner Morgan. But then to get up into the top 10 to get Bateman, you'd probably have to give up like three additional fairly high picks.
I'm sure it'd be way more than Rick would give up, but that would be one heck of a combination.
Well, or you could use the pick that you acquired in the Adam Thielen trade
Bateman's
that you're going to pull in a couple weeks.
Bateman's. Oh God, there's so many possible. There's so many potential trades that this team could make as the deadline approaches. Which, by the way, Election Day.
That's the trade deadline?
That's the trade deadline, November 3rd.
That's going to be fun. So on the same day that we either elect a new president or keep the current president, Adam Thielen will be playing for the Las Vegas Raiders and John Gruden, something like
that's
that.
Wow. You know what? Anything's impossible. That, my good man, darn near binding in itself.
Ooh! Write this down.
What if you predicted that? That would have been a hell of a home run prediction.
We should make some trade deadline predictions here in the next 6 weeks or so. And cheap plug, Purple Daily. We appreciate everyone helping us to get up over 9,500 subscribers on youtube.com/Purple Daily Podcast. And you can also listen on Apple, Spotify, and ScoreNorth.com or wherever you find your podcast. But Purple Daily, daily deep dive discussions about the Minnesota Vikings. And on yesterday's episode, we brought our friend Eric Eager in from Pro Football Focus because he says the Vikings should trade for Jameis Winston. And that turned into like a 35-minute discussion about the state of the quarterback situation and what the Vikings should do. So go check that out when you guys get some time.
But our guys had put a few good swings out there on them. You know, we hit a few homers to get things going. But we had to really dig a little bit to get done what we needed to get done tonight. And our guys kept fighting and kept going. And you never know how those games are going to end, but we found a way to get it done. It was a good night.
All right, Pat, the first three innings of Homer Bailey, where does that rank among the great pitching performances you've seen in your life watching baseball?
Well, he was better than I expected, I'll tell you that. I mean, he was, but then again, we have to remember the competition. But he was okay. He's not going to get a start, but you can probably put him in the bullpen, right, for the postseason.
If you had to pick Homer Bailey or Randy Dobnak as the last guy on in your rotation or in your bullpen, who do you pick?
I'd probably take Homer Bailey. I like Dobnak, but I don't think he's not going to come in and strike anybody out. I'm not sure Homer is either, but he's got a better chance. I just don't see Randy as being too valuable as a reliever to you.
No, I'm with you. I would actually...
At this point, he might not be either way.
I mean, unless you just wanted Randy Dobnak as a guy that, hey, there's runners on first and second, and we just need a ground ball. So come on in here.
Preferably up the middle.
Yeah, but if it just becomes those two, I mean, Homer Bailey's got better stuff. He doesn't... we'll have to see now if he's able to pitch the next 2 months after he pitched three innings yesterday. not exactly ever been known for his durability, but he was better than I thought. They lucked that out. To me, the highlight of the game was Eddie Rosario getting a game-tying base hit on a pitch that a cricket player couldn't have reached. That ball was a foot off the plate at least, wasn't it?
didn't bother him a bit, Pat.
It was in the other batter's box.
Yeah.
He slapped it in and he looped it in the center and tied the game. And then Kepler out of his coma for 10 minutes. So we'll see if that lasts. You know what is disgusting, though? Sano again. What the hell happened? He hits every breaking ball that they throw, below the waist. He's just pulling off it. Don't throw him a curveball because you might hang it, but a slider with a little velocity on it. It's unbelievable. He's as pathetic now as he was at his worst. What is he doing? What the?
Yep.
Why can't fire this pitch hitting coach? He's got to be. Nobody can talk to this moron. Stay on the ball and hit the bleeping thing to right center field, you stupid idiot.
It is.
It's unbelievable.
It's so classic Sano. Whenever he goes through a hot streak and starts feeling good about himself for like 5 days or a week, he can't just like stay dialed in to whatever the habits are that he's built. It's got to be, now I got to hit the ball farther and I got to pull off even more and I got to swing at everything. And it's like, he just gets, I don't know if he just gets squirrely or what the deal is, but it's been the same thing for 6 years.
Yeah, well, and he's back up to, 50% strikeouts. I mean, I don't care how many people are striking out, how often. 50%!
Yep.
That's never been done in the history of baseball.
He's taking a shot.
The name of the Rob Deere couldn't strike out 50%, for God's sakes. What? It's just pathetic. And, Garber's. Garber is going to sit there and wait for a fastball in the middle of the plate. If it kills him, they can throw him 18 breaking balls in the middle of the plate and he won't swing at him. And then if he gets the two strikes, of course, then he misses it by 7.5 feet. He ran into a ball yesterday and hit a 300-foot, a 500-foot home run. But beyond that, they got some I know everybody's striking out everywhere, but they got some ungodly, rotten at-bats taking place from some of these morons. It's unbelievable. If they're going to throw you a cookie breaking ball in the middle of the plate, Mitch, hit the bleeping thing. Don't sit there and wait for a fastball. But he's obviously turned into the guess hitter of all time.
Your thoughts on the robes. Do you like the robes, Pat?
I know you like the robes. I know Mackie likes the robes. I like the robe. when he first kind of broke it out. It was funny. But now I can see it's going to become a gimmick. We're going to have to see the bleeping things the rest of the year. You know how I feel about cute guys. I don't like cute.
What do you mean? It's not cute. It's comfort. It's luxury.
Would you wear a robe? I mean, it's a nice robe. It's a luxury robe. I sort of like
it.
Classy. I'd like one.
Only if I was at a Hugh Hefner backyard party would I wear a robe.
Oh, that'd be cool, boy.
Then I put a pipe in my hand and just sit there and be a lecher. It would be great.
Nelson Cruz seems like he might have the connections to get you backstage at a Hugh Hefner party.
Yes, he does. What's the deal with him? Are we going to announce his retirement? Okay. We don't play all weekend, and then they say, well, we can play him Sunday because then we had Monday off, so the old guardy, we could give him an extra day deal.
Yeah.
And now he's still not in there. And now yesterday, won't they, am I wrong? Was Rocco more vague about him yesterday than he's been previously?
I think the Twins have been saying knee, but when he was on Sunday Night Baseball during the game, he said hamstring. So
yes, he did. So
we don't even know what's really wrong. I'm guessing hamstring.
I would think if the player says it's a hamstring, it's probably a hamstring. I tell you what, though, he's a hell of a guy, isn't he? I mean, he is a good, sharp guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thank God they got him on that team to they were congratulating him on Sunday Night Baseball for his work with Miguel Sano. About the time Miguel was going up and missing three pitches by 14 feet. So that didn't quite work out for him. I think Nelson really wanted to say, don't blame me for this. Don't blame me that the moron won't listen to me.
Yeah.
Then take the ball to right field. There's base hits to be had in right field.
Pat, we woke up to two pieces of news. Number one, Gale Sayers passed away at 77, and Joe Laurinaitis, Road Warrior Animal, who we had him on our show at Radio Row Super Bowl 3 years ago, passed away too at the age of 60.
That's terrible. He was down in Missouri. He must have been like Branson or something, doing something down there, some resort down in Missouri. And I don't think they've told us if he had a heart attack or what it was. My memory of Joe, he's your generation wrestler. I'm kind of the old W, the Vern Gagne stuff, AWA. But I was at the Gopher Ohio State game in 06, and Jim was a sophomore then, the great Wyzetta linebacker who Sid promised would never get a job in Minnesota again if he went to Ohio State. And I think he called up the house to tell him that, as a matter of fact. But Jim, of course, as a freshman, he played a lot, and then he played in the bowl game when the starting linebacker got hurt, and then as a sophomore, he was like the lead tackler. But I remember they edged the Gophers 44-0 that day in Mesa's last year, and like we had about a 6 a.m. flight on Sunday morning back from Columbus. And I was walking down the corridor to the gate with Laurinaitis and his wife, Julie. I think they're divorced now, but Joe and his wife. And there was no – what struck me is, if you're walking with the animal any other place, it'd be, animal, how you doing? Ohio State, all the workers, Buckeye fans, and then other passengers, and it was all, we love your son. We love your son. Thank you for your son. It was 50 times in 150 yards. I heard that.
That's amazing. He performed in packed arenas for 20 years of people that would die to get for him to like drop sweat on them as he passes by. Not at Ohio State.
Everybody talks about the SEC and everything, but if you want to know where it's psychotic about college football, Columbus is as good as any place because they are goofy there, that's for sure. And much better stadium than the Michigan's, too. They're close to 100,000 there now, too. I don't know how many they're putting in there. But anyway, it's too bad. I mean, he was a big, huge man, but he was a healthy guy. He's a workout fanatic of all time. In fact, didn't he kind of do that? Wasn't he a trainer of athletes after he was done wrestling?
I believe he was. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he was a workout fanatic and stuff. So I'm sad to see it. He seemed like a good guy. I talked to him mostly about Jimmy, but probably 3-4 different times, and I found him to be a really good guy. And it's a sad deal at age 60. And Sayers, of course, I was trying to find the famous Halloween game on YouTube. There was a Halloween night game back in the end. I think it was Monday Night Football, but it was back in the days of, you know, when it was a novelty, you know, Monday Night Football. And I thought it was Halloween and the big moon up there, and he made some ungodly 70 or 80 yard run that was talked about for years. I couldn't find that one. I did find a 99 yard run he made against Nebraska when he was a Kansas guy. Those feisty Nebraska defensive backs, white lads from somewhere out in out in the sticks there, they were getting left in his dust there for a while. When he got around the corner, there wasn't much doubt.
That was it for them.
Yeah, he was. He got hurt. He was one of the all-time greats, but he also had a bad knee for a lot of years that made him even worse. But he was Barry Sanders, a bigger version of Barry Sanders before Barry Sanders. He was fantastic.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, do you recall who was the first person that Sid threatened with, if you leave this town, you'll never work in this town again?
Well,
do you remember?
I only knew him from the mid 60s. I'm sure it was. You think how bad it was in the 50s when the nucleus of the team was Minnesota, South Dakota kids, you know, until we finally started taking advantage of segregation in the South and getting some athletes in here. The kid from Hopkins who went to Wisconsin, can you imagine what he was threatened with from Sydney?
He never worked again, period.
No, he never even, they wouldn't even let him back in the state, whoever that might have been. Yeah, I can imagine the phone calls he was making that. It is astounding that the Star Tribune let him get away with it, you know, because the kid from Apple Valley, Trevor Laws, was it, the defensive lineman?
Yeah.
Kid from Apple Valley went to Notre Dame. Yeah, he told me, he said, yeah, he called up the house 3-4 times, said I, you know, might as well never come back to the state.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
We need Judd to start doing that.
I mean, that's 15 years. That's not like 25, 30 years ago. That's maybe 15. Trevor Laws was probably 15 years ago at the most.
Did he call Trey Jones?
I don't know. Good thing he's not a women's basketball fan, or Paige Buchers would be getting daily phone calls.
Yeah. Oh, is she right? Yeah. That's it. Stay in Connecticut.
Speaking of women's basketball, heartbreaking loss for our Lynx last night.
Yeah, buzzer beater layup.
We took the Fighting Storm to the precipice, and then they scored on a layup at the end. So
I feel like this is one of the better coaching jobs by Cheryl Reeve. All your stars are gone, and it's very San Antonio Spurs like.
Yes, and I got to say this: the pandemic has done more for coverage of the Lynx, at least in the Star Tribune, of anything in history. We cover every game like it's a monumental event. And, it used to be road games were pretty much ignored. But now that we've discovered you can get the Zoom calls.
Zoom, yes.
When you're home, they're getting more coverage than they've ever gotten. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Kent's working hard there, Pat.
Huh?
I said Kent's working hard. Young blood.
Yeah, but I found out something the other day. I happened to be in the office while one of the games was going on.
Yeah.
Kent comes in the office and turns up the sound and then swears at the TV while the game's going on. So I got to stay away from there now. So
watched a lot of Sid.
It's kind of Paul Allen without the radio. You know,
should plant a mic so we can all hear it.
Oh, it'd be great. Except we'd have to get a little few bleeps out of there here and there. So anyway.
All right, Pat. So, we'll catch up with you on Friday.
Hey, that was an important game to win. win last night when these idiots were out there screwing around, you know what? Because it puts you within a half of the Whiteys, and it keeps you a game and a half ahead of the Yankees.
Yeah.
And they're playing the game like, ah, what the hell? We don't have to play this game.
It's not going
to
change, Pat.
We don't have to play Polanco. We don't have to play
Polanco. Polanco's hurt, though. I mean, post-game, Rocco said he's got a bad ankle and has had it for a while and has tried to play through it.
And
Rocco made it sound
Arise,
like it's not good. Yeah.
And why is Arise practicing rundowns? We don't want you practicing rundowns,
yeah.
You moron.
This is where Pat needs to join the Twins front office.
I've used moron too often on this segment today, but I just kind of have that.
You spelled it out on Monday. On chain, you spelled
vibe.
It.
I got that vibe going right now. So. All right, gents.
All right, see you, Pat. All right, that's the legendary.
Enjoy
Patrick
your
role. And you can find him.
Put your robe on, Pat.
Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on this show, and also Royce Unchained as its own podcast. So
I don't like cute if it doesn't work.
I think the robes work.
But that's the point.
I don't like robes, but I'm fine with them wearing them. I think it's cool.
I don't like something that's made up and not organic and tries to be cute, to Patrick's point. But in this case, it's organic.
Yeah. By the way, Kirk Cousins on...
I just saw this, dude.
So Kirk Cousins... was asked, because after the game, he said, I just need to go look at the film.
So he looked at it.
So somebody asked him, now that you've looked at the film, what'd you see? This is from Chad Graff of The Athletic. Quote, after watching the film, I don't really have a whole lot to add.
God, dude. He's the best.
Don't have a whole lot to add there.
Hey, you held him at 20 points, man. Yes, you gave us a chance at the end, but I got three words for you. You like that?
Yeah!